My hope is in you only. In my heart you hold. 'Cause you made this sinner holy and holy. Your glory is so beautiful. I fall onto my knees in awe. And the heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful.
Serve a good guy. I've got maybe some words of encouragement for you. I ran across this post the other day from Elevation Church, and it says, "Have you settled in a place that God intended you to pass through? Don't stop in the middle." And there's a passage from Hebrews that says, "You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised." So I just want to encourage you today to, if you feel like you've settled in the middle, and I know I kind of feel like that in my own life, that I've just settled sometimes, God has more for you. You just got to keep pressing on, whether it's fear, whatever that roadblock that seems to be in the way that you think, I'm never going to get away from this, there's more. Don't get stuck in the middle. Keep moving forward. Let's just believe that today. And know that God's promises are awesome and they're for forever. What an awesome God we serve.
Will you unravel me with a melody? You surround me with song of deliverance. From my enemies till all my fears are gone. Well, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Well, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. Well, I've been born again to God. child of God. I'm no longer a slave. I am a child of God.
You are no longer a slave to fear. And that allows you to connect to love. You're no longer a slave to worry. And that allows you to connect to faith. You're no longer a slave to I'm not enough. And that allows you to connect to I am a child of a king. You are no longer a slave to yesterday, and that allows you to connect to now. You're no longer a slave to tomorrow, and that allows you to connect to now. We get to right now connect to the truth of who we are. We get to right now to connect to His presence, to His love, to each other's presence, to our love for each other in this moment right now. I am learning more and more to be in this moment. And that's where we are right now. We're not yesterday. We're not even tomorrow. But right now, we're here. Together, we're right here in this moment. And when we're able to be where we are. And this next song is a very old prayer called the Prayer of St. Francis. And it seems like a really lofty task. The words seem very lofty. Make me an instrument of peace where there is hatred. Let me sow love. But when I am the scripture that's been just churning over in me all week long, really the past 2 weeks, is in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. Not our doing, but it's in our being and our becoming. And when we are in this moment, then I can be that instrument of peace to my children. I can be that instrument of love to you. And so right now, I encourage you to be here in this moment, not yesterday, not what happens when you leave here, but just thanking God that we get to disconnect from lies and connect to truth of who we are, of who He is, and we get to celebrate it. And as we sing these words, we don't sing them with striving, but we sing them with simply being who He's created us to be. Make me an instrument of peace. Where there is hate, let me sow love. Where there is hurt, let me bring your healing. Make me an instrument of peace. Where there is fear, let faith arise. Where there is dark, let me be your light. Make of me your hands and feet. I want to be to the people around me what you want to be to the people around me. It's in the loving we find love. It's in the giving we receive. It's in the dying we are found. there is hate, let me sow love. Where there is hurt, let me bring your healing. And make me an instrument of peace. And where there is fear, let faith arise. And where there is dark, let me be your light. We thank you, Father, for the gifts within us. We thank you that where there is fear, faith does arise. Because we arise into who you are, into what you're able to do in us, what you're able to do through us. Father, what you're able to do for us. And we allow our faith to arise this morning. We thank you, Father, that when we fix our eyes on you, when we fix our thoughts on you, when we set our mind, Father, our being on who you are, God, that we can rest in knowing that it is well, that it is always well. Grandeur earth is quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well with me. You see, whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. So whatever it is this morning that you need to, that you want to bind, that you want to make real in your life, that you want to make whole in your life, you get to do that this morning. And whatever you do, it is bound in heaven. Whatever you want to set yourself free from, whatever you want to be let loose from, have the power to do that this morning, because whatever is loosed right here is loosed in heaven and you are set free. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. Whatever the mountain is, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Jehovah Rapha, he is your healer, he is Jehovah Sidkenu, he is your righteousness. Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. Allow who he is to stir. Allow who that power is that raised Christ from the dead, that lives within you, to stir within you this morning. You're in this room. We thank you that you're not far. But Father, you are right here with us. Father, I thank you for a measure of faith that is more than we need. For measures of grace that is far more than we could ever even tap into. For your love that is so good, that is so unconditional, that is so true, that is so right, and that is the very core of your being. It is the very core of our being, and that all of these other things, all of these other things can be wrapped up into your great love for us, that it secures us, it assures us, and we know beyond a doubt, Father, that it always goes before us. It always makes a way, and all we have to do is walk through it, knowing and trusting in your great love, in your great truth. And we give you praise. We open up our ears to hear this morning. In Jesus' name.
I think we're still coming to a realization of what it means to be a child of God. Good stuff. Good stuff. Hope you got your bulletin. One of the most important things in that bulletin, other than the information, is this little card. As members, we want you to fill this out each and every week. A lot of important things for you to sign up for and communicate with us. Prayer requests on the back. Something that we have started and then we stopped and we're back doing it. Is if you put information on this card, you should get an email on Monday or Tuesday saying thank you for putting the information on the card. If you don't get that email, then you know that we didn't get your card for some reason. Okay, so if you will make sure that you sign up for those possible things. Thank you. Come, Pastor.
Good morning. Wow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. We open our hearts, our minds, and spirits to you. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to us in a way that will align us up with your perfect will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I got a good talking from my wife this week. Yeah. Every now and then, Pastor Buren gets pastored. Yeah. The good thing is, I'd already repented. And so, all was well. No, Barbara said, you know, you always have, Buren, over the years, Eagles Way Church has gone through different seasons, and you always swing the pendulum as far as you can take it. She says, time to bring the pendulum back a little bit. So I said, you're going to love Sunday morning. You're going to love this morning because we're going to bring the pendulum back to something that I think you're going to really like and really going to help. I want to share a principle with you this morning that I believe is probably the most important principle in life. Now, that's a strong statement, but I believe that with all my heart. What I'm going to share with you this morning, I believe, is the most important principle of life. It's the principle that God chose to deliver creation. So that's a pretty big principle, don't you think? If God chose this one principle to deliver creation, then it has to be a very important principle. There's a big word hanging behind us called kainos. It's the word, Greek word for new. It's found throughout the scriptures in the New Testament. The Bible says that God is making all things new. He's refreshing, he's reviving, he's renewing. That word, that's what new means, is to renew, to refresh. How many love to be refreshed, renewed? Your marriage need to be refreshed and renewed. Your relationships need to be refreshed and renewed. Your everything in life, you need to be refreshed and renewed. Right? We all need it. We all need a time of refreshing. For some people, that's a vacation. For some people, that's a getaway. For some people, that's just staying at home and doing nothing. But you need that time of refreshing. And so, in that, there's a word called hope, and hope is an expectation of good. It's the best is going to come to me, and that's what we need. Hope is the anchor of the soul, and in that, we need wonder. We need this excitement about life, that everything is still a wonder to us. It doesn't become insignificant and mundane. We go into the names of God. There are 12 particular names of God in the scriptures, and each one of those names gives us a characteristic of who God is. How many know that one name can't name God? I mean, you can't describe God in one name, one title. The Israelites came out of bondage, and they will see some things about that in a moment, but they came to the Red Sea, and God brought them through the Red Sea, and they came to a mountain, and Moses went up on the mountain. And the Bible says he delayed to come down, and so they built this golden calf, or this golden ox, and they made an idol. Now, this idol wasn't like they were changing gods. They weren't changing gods. I've shared this many times, but you need to hear that. They were not changing gods. They were just saying, this is who God is. They had seen him as a strong ox who had delivered them out of Egypt and out of bondage. And God was very upset because he said, you can't make an idol out of me. You can't make one description out of me and decide that's who I am, because I'm more than that. While you was in bondage, I was an ox to you. I was strong for you. I brought you out. How many know that sometimes you need another aspect of God? You need a tenderness of God. You know, I had an earthly father who knew how to be both. He knew how to be stern. He knew how to be hard. He knew how to be in my face, but he also knew how to wrap his arms around me and love me. He knew at times I needed this, but at other times I need this. Aren't you glad you got a God like that? That you got a heavenly Father who can be so strong in your life and yet so tender in your life. So mighty in your life, and yet he can be so loving and kind and tender in your life. And so we've gone through these names of God, and we started with Elohim. And Elohim is that he's the creator, and he created everything by his word. And that's how we begin our walk with God. The Bible says, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, we'll be saved, or we'll be made whole. So that's what salvation is. Salvation is not you will not go to hell and you'll go to heaven. No, salvation is I will make you whole. I'll make you spirit, soul, and body whole. And so we see him as Elohim, that he is our creator. We saw him as Jehovah, our righteousness. Jesus came, and the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God. And so before the foundations of the world, in Ephesians chapter 1, it says we were accepted in him. We were his beloved. He lavished us with grace and mercy. He said that he made us without fault and blameless before the foundation of the world in Christ. I mean, no, you're seated with him in heavenly places right now. You're seated with Christ. And so he is our righteousness. He is Adonai. He is our master. He's our Lord. Not so he can put his thumb over us and keep us down, but he's our master and Lord so that we can be the master and Lord of our life, so we can master the things that come to us. We can be an overcomer, right? We can be an overcomer. So I want to be your master so you can be a master. And then he said that he is our El Shaddai. He's the one who nourishes us. The Bible says, Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Because this, when we are born into the kingdom, we come as a child. But he says, I want you to become into sonship. I want you to grow up. And so he's our nourisher. Last week we talked about he is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. Abraham knew. Jesus said, Abraham saw his day and rejoiced in it. Wow. How did Abraham see thousands of years down the road and see Jesus? Because he knew that the God who told him to take Isaac to the top of the Mount Moriah and offer him a sacrifice was not the God that he served, was not the God that was going to accept his son as a sacrifice. He knew he would provide another sacrifice. And he previsioned it before he saw it provided. And so today I want to talk about a name called Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. He is our healer. And I want you to see this in a far deeper way than just physical healing. I had the flu the other week, and I heard I had the man flu. I didn't know that until I heard a message about it. But I heard I had the man flu. The man flu is supposed to be different than the female flu. It's a lot worse. I don't know. I guess it is. But when I had the man flu, I had hope. I had hope. I knew that in a matter of days, I was going to be back up. I knew that. There are diseases that you just No. My doctor told me one time, he said, Bearden, you can get a bad cold and you can come see me and take medicine and 7 days it'll be over. If you can just stay home, 7 days it'll be over. You know, it's going to come and it's going to go. How many are glad of that? And it came to pass. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It came to pass. There's certain things I know is going to come to pass. Now, there are other diseases that's more terrifying than that, and we know that. There are diseases that are incurable. There are diseases that can take your life. But the worst disease there is in life is not a disease of the physical body. It's the disease of the soul. No disease is worse than the disease of the heart. No disease is worse than a disease that is not necessarily going to last 4 or 5 days, and you know in 5 days I'm going to hop up off that sofa and be okay. But it's a disease that can haunt me, torment me day in and day out if I don't deal with it. It's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of the soul. And so the Israelites have just been delivered out of bondage. And in Exodus 15, almost the whole chapter of Exodus 15 is about their singing and praising God. Let me just read a few of the verses. I love it. It says, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. Now, I don't know how this came about. It's like they just come through the Red Sea and spontaneously, joy, somebody wrote a song. Somebody like, bam, wrote this song, or some way in all of their hearts, 3 million people started singing this song. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the rider has he hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank into the depths like a stone. Boy, somebody got a hold of God and wrote a song that was, man, right on. You're talking about relevant. It was relevant for that moment. And they just go on, who is like our God? And goes on, you stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Man, what a song. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized and trembling. The land of Canaan will melt away in terror and dread will fall upon them. Boy, they just prophesying their future. But then, when they get through singing, when they get through praising, reality hits. Church service is over. Monday morning's coming. I like the old song, Sunday's Coming. Nobody's ever loved that Monday's coming. Nobody really likes a song, Monday morning's coming. Well, Monday morning hit and said, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. And they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Now, how many know what that wood stands for? The cross. It's just a prophetic emblem of what the future would be. That when you get to the place of hurt and pain, there's a cross that we can go to. And in that cross, we can find redemption. It says, there the Lord made a decree and a law for them. And there he tested them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of these diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you, or I am Jehovah Rapha who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs, 70 palm trees, and they camped near the water. They came to a place which they thought was going to be refreshing, and it was bitter. The only things that can hurt you, or let me rephrase that, the only people that can hurt you, really hurt you, are people you love or people you care for. No one outside of a relationship with you can really hurt you. I took Dusty and the three kids to the airport the other week, and it was just packed. I mean, it was just packed, packed, packed. It's about the most crowded I've ever seen it. We even was downstairs where we go most of the time where it's not crowded, and it was packed. Well, I pulled over on the side, and my bumper was sticking out just a little bit, but I jumped out, and like a maniac, and I opened that back. I took out luggage for four people, set it over there. I mean, I was hustling. Nobody was hustling like I was hustling, Bill. Nobody. Nobody got four people's luggage out of the back of a car like I did. Nobody. I did it better than anybody. I saw the other people. They were just moping around doing nothing. I was working. And I got it out, and I thought, they're going to light me. And here's this security guy, man, just starts yelling at me. I mean, top of his voice, he is yelling at me. He says, you see your bumper sticking out here? It's your fault if you get hit. And if you get hit, I'm going to give you the ticket. And I'm just standing there going, Now I'm going to tell you my first response. No, I really can't tell you my first response. Not up here. I'll share after church if you want to know. But for a moment I started, then I stopped and I said, thank you. Thank you for pointing out. Next time I'll do better. Well, boy, he got madder. He literally did. Well, I got in the car and I'm driving off, and for a moment I was really mad. I got over that. I don't know him. He ain't gonna bug me. I guess he may be bugging me. I don't know. I'm still talking about it. But he didn't really. Now, if you talk to me that way, or my wife talks to me that way, it's gonna hurt. You see, these springs were supposed to be refreshing to them, but it was bitter to them. The only thing can hurt you is what's supposed to be refreshing to you can become bitter. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, great people. He said, but who do you say? How many know it really doesn't matter what other people say of him? It's what do I say of him? He says, okay, now they say this of me, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The strategies of hell, the powers of hell, the things that bind people and keep people imprisoned. See, to the Jew, hell wasn't a place of punishment. It was a place of confinement and separation. It was a place where they were confined. How many know hell can be a place of confinement? Hell can be a place where I feel locked in. I feel bound up. You with me? So he says, now, these gates of hell are not going to prevail against my church, not a building, not a denomination, but a people who understand who I am. He says, Simon, your name is now going to be Peter. The first time Jesus ever met Peter, he actually told him, your name's going to be Peter. But he never called him Peter for 3 years. But at the end of his ministry, Simon means a reed shaken in the wind. Peter means a rock. And so Peter calls Jesus a rock, and Jesus turns around and calls Peter a rock. Because you see me as a rock, I'm going to see you as a rock. I'm the Petros, I'm the massive rock, but you're a Petros, you're a piece of the rock. And Peter went on to say in 1 Peter, that we are lively stones built together, a habitation of God in the Spirit. We were rocks built together. And he said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Or whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. And that word binding, I talked about this Wednesday night, just going to say one thing about it. It's like you have a binding contract. And you take that contract and you go and it's binding and it will enforce for you whatever needs to be enforced for you. With me? We have binding covenants and bind. See, what we are to do in this earth is to enforce the kingdom. We can go with a contract and enforce the kingdom. We can put it into practice. We can take dominion the way God said for us to do in Genesis 1. So he says, whatever you bind, whatever you reclaim is already reclaimed for you in heaven. But then he said this, whatever you loose has already been loosed for you in heaven. Whatever you loose. In Luke, he says this, whosoever, if you forgive men, you will be forgiven. The little translation of that is this, if you loose people, you will be loosed. If you let it go, you'll be let go. Someone asked me one time years ago, how do I know that I have forgiven somebody? I said, have you let them go? Have you let them go? Or is it still tormenting you? Then the forgiveness hasn't been released. But when you loose it, he says it's already loosed in heaven. Jesus goes on in Matthew chapter 18, and he says in verse 23, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, literally in the Greek, and in our day, and you can look it up in concordances and et cetera, millions of dollars. Some have even brought it down to precise. He owed him $6 million. Now, who can relate to that at all right now? I don't owe anybody $6 million. How do you owe? I could have all my debts for a lifetime and not owe $6 million. He says $6 million. He said, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that his wife, his children be sold and pay the debt. Listen, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. He couldn't have paid back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt, and listen, and let him go. Loosed him. Let him go. Let him go. I'm going to date myself. There was a program on television years ago called The $6 Million Man. How many ever remember The $6 Million Man? Well, let me tell you who the $6 million man was. He had two bionic legs, one arm, and one eye. And I kind of related that to this. Here's this man who owed $6 million, but was forgiven the $6 million, and was in the place to become a $6 million man. That had strong legs to uphold, an arm to reach out, and an eye to see and perceive like no one else. You see, when you have received the forgiveness that comes from God, and you've been forgiven, you become this $6 million man, able to stand, able to uphold, able to reach out, and able to perceive and to see like nobody else. Now, you would think, wow, this dude, he's got to just go out of there loving on people like he's never loved people before. There was a woman one time who came into Jesus and took an alabaster box and she broke it open and she poured this ointment on him. She anointed his head, she anointed his feet, and she was anointing him for burial, and the disciples got upset about it. The treasurer really got upset about it, said that ointment should have been sold and given to the poor. Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what this woman's been through. You don't know what she's been forgiven of. She has been forgiven of so much that she's pouring out so much love. That's what she's doing. She knows what she's been forgiven for, and therefore she's pouring this love out. That's what this man should have done. But the Bible says, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denaro, or who owed him a few $1,000s. He'd just been released of $6 million, and he goes and finds somebody that owes him a few thousand. Listen, his fellow servant grabbed him by the throat. Just been forgiven $6 million, but he grabs this guy by the throat, chokes him, pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees. Same thing he did. Begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off, had the man thrown into prison until he could, I highlighted this, until he could pay the debt. How are you going to pay the debt and you're in prison? How? You're going to pay the debt and you're in prison. That's how ridiculous and dumb and idiotic unforgiveness is. That's how binding it can be, how deceptive it can be. Then the master called. Well, and when the servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant. He said, you wicked servant. And that word wicked means you twisted man. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from what is in your heart or what is tormenting you. There's a story in Mark, and Jesus is about to go to Calvary. And before he does that, we have a Sunday coming up prior to Easter Sunday called Palm Sunday. It's his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He tells his disciples, he says, I want you to go into Jerusalem and you're going to find a coat. You're going to find the donkey tied up. Listen to this. Go and loose the donkey and bring it here. And he mounts up on the donkey and he makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. When we forgive and loose, we allow the King to mount up in our hearts and to give us a triumphant entry into our future. There's nothing more powerful than forgiveness. There's nothing more powerful than loosing, let it go. It gives the King the opportunity to mount up in your life and triumphantly take you into your future. This man could have been the $6 million man, but he went on to be unforgiving to somebody else. Now, when he says, I'm going to turn you over to the jailers, it's not like they're going to put you in jail. The jailers were tormentors. He said, I'm going to turn you over to your tormentors, and I'm going to turn you over to all your debt collectors, and they're going to hound you from now on. They're just going to torment you day in and day out. I'll give you an illustration. My wife has one big pet peeve. Not me. It's not me. Her pet peeve is telemarketing. Oh, buddy. Oh, if you ever get, if you're going to be a telemarketer, don't call Barbara. Call me, and I'll call Barbara for you. Don't call, she, it's just a pet peeve of hers. Well, this would be what would happen. If Barbara was that man, and she, the tormentors, what God would do to her, would she'd get a phone call from a telemarketer every 5 minutes, just being tormented. I'm trying to give you an illustration. You, when I don't forgive, we are tormented day in and day out with it. Day in and day out. It's torment. And Isaiah prophesied it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, and he'll come and heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. He'll come and heal. He is Jehovah Rapha. What did Israelites need to be healed of? Their bitterness. Here they had just sang a song of praise to God that was unbelievable, and that praise turned into complaining. Because let me tell you something, you're praising or you're complaining. You're praising, thanksgiving, and praise, or you're complaining. It's one or the other. And he says their praise turned to this bitterness, because what they hoped would refresh them didn't. But what will bring you from that's always the cross. Take a stick, throw it in. It'll make it sweet. If you'll bring the cross into every situation, it'll make a difference. There are not all. They brought a man to Jesus one time that was blind, and they said, who sinned? His mother, his father? Who sinned? Did he sin? Jesus said, nobody sinned to cause this. He's in this state right now for the glory of God. But there are sicknesses that really come out of unforgiveness. There are people who have had arthritis, all kinds of physical issues, ulcers. Worry, it'll torment you. It'll torment you. And he says that, God says that I'm going to deliver creation by forgiving them. And while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So that when we ask for forgiveness, he's already forgiven. We're just acknowledging he's already forgiven us. And he says, I'm going to deliver creation by forgiving them. I will deliver all of creation by this, and I will deliver you. And you can be a deliverer now. And he went on and said to his disciples, this is what's going to happen to you. Here I said, whatever you bind, whatever you reclaim is already bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. I told him this story Wednesday night. I hadn't told it in a long time. It's in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah tells this guy, he says, I want you to buy this parcel of land. And because one day we're going to come back here. We're going to be taken from it. Because Jeremiah told them, you're going into 70 years Babylonian captivity, but you're going to come back. He said, I want you to buy this land. And he took it. He bought it. He put the title deed in an earthen jar and buried it in the ground. They came back. They reclaimed their land, but that stayed in the ground. And about 50 years ago, there was a battle. There was a controversy between Israel and Pakistan over a piece of property. They said, Pakistan said it's ours. Israel said it's ours. And some archaeologists was digging in the ground. And guess what they hit? An earthen jar. Got it out, pulled out a deed, title deed that said, I buy it this day, do buy this parcel of ground, and reclaimed it. See, we have a deed. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, there was a man, and he had a hand open, and a seal, a scroll was in his hand, and it was sealed with seven seals. He says, I wept because no man was found worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals. And he says, an angel came to me and said, don't weep. Don't weep, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals. And I saw one who had been slain from the foundation of the world, who had seven horns and seven eyes, which looked through all the earth. And he came and he took the scroll and he opened it up. And what he did, he says, I forgive. And reclaim the earth. You can reclaim your life and reclaim my life simply by forgiving, loosening it. Loose the seals. Don't let it bind you anymore. Don't let it seal you up anymore. Don't let that childhood, that pain and that hurt from a father or a mother or a brother or a sister or from somebody that hurt you years ago, don't carry it one step further. Release it, let it go. Loose the seal and see what will happen as all this goodness will rise up within you. This King of Kings and Lord of Lords will mount up in your heart and will take you into a triumphant future for you, and you will find joy and peace and happiness because you're letting the King ride in your heart. There were times in my life in the past I thought I had forgiven. And I'd go a long, long time and that wouldn't bother me. Then something would happen and it would crop up. And I realized I hadn't forgiven yet. I hadn't let that thing go yet. My daddy had one man in his life that had tormented him. I mean, absolutely tormented him. There were times I think if my daddy had a pistol in his hand, he'd have shot him. Never seen him. My daddy hates somebody like he hated this man. Now, I'm not exaggerating. One day, daddy was lying in his bed, and he was just meditating. And daddy told the story, that his man's picture, he said, it was like I was at a theater, and this man's face just comes on that wall. And the Lord just began to minister to daddy and said, you've got to let him go. You've got to forgive him and let him go. Or you're going to be tormented the rest of your life. And daddy at that moment, and I'll never, ever forget his testimony. I'll never forget the Sunday after that week when he got up to preach. He totally preached different. He totally shared God different. Then he told the story of what he did. He said, I forgave this man for the pain and the hurt. Is it difficult? Yes, because the only people who can hurt you are people you care about. They're the only ones who can hurt you. Nobody can hurt you you don't love. Nobody can hurt you you don't care about. There's no way. But it's the relational things. And there, when I got into this week, I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to go here. I don't know why, I just didn't want to go. But I know deep in my heart, and I know here, some of you here, I'm not talking about maybe something recent. I'm talking about something that happened in your childhood that you never let go. You never went back to that moment and say, I really forgive and let it go. That's what it means to loose. Let it go. It could be a number of different things. But I want to tell you, there's nothing more powerful when God showed me Mark chapter 11, a coat, loose it, and I'll get on it. And tied it in with loose it. Forgive. And I'll ride your heart in a triumphant entry into the future. How many want a triumphant future? And it's got to come by forgiving and letting it go. I want you to stand with me. And if you're here this morning, and I just want you to think for a moment, is there someone, something Was it a childhood experience? You know, all these ladies that's come forth, bless their hearts, with this pain, what they're having to come forth with too is not just this pain. They're going to have to forgive. They're going to have to come forth with this abuse they went through. It'll torment them the rest of their life if they don't come to the place of releasing forgiveness. It's just, this thing's so powerful. That's why I started this thing, and I'll say it again. This is the most powerful principle in the earth. No principle more powerful than forgiveness. If God chose it to deliver creation, there's nothing more powerful. Nothing. Nothing will release you. Nothing will loose you like forgiveness will. How do I know I've done it? I've let it go. And that's what I'll let you share in just a moment. That's what Jesus said this. I'll take your sins and I'll cast them from the east to the west to remember them no more. I'll take your sins. I'll put them into the depths of the sea to remember them no more. Did he forget? No. You will never forget it. You think a computer is something, your brain's much more powerful than a computer. You're never going to forget the hurt. Never going to forget. You're going to have the scars even. But you won't carry the pain. And you won't carry the pain. You remember it when you go into the sea, pull it back up, start reliving it all over again. You start remembering it. Stop remembering it. A man I know today who's one of the wealthiest men I know, he's one of the happiest men I know right now, who went through his life for a long, long time remembering stuff, all the pain and all the hurt of his life, till one day I was able to say to him, stop remembering these things and putting them all back together. Once you release it and let it go, your life is going to be turned around 100%. You're going to be so much better. You got to stop putting it back together. That's all you do. I just don't talk about it no more. There's things in mine and Barbara's marriage. No, 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 no. Don't go there. You don't remember that. You don't put that back together. No. It's not going to do any good. Forgiveness says, I won't remember that no more.
Sometimes I feel like we think forgiveness is magic, that if I just say I forgive and I release, that it's magically going to happen. And sometimes it can work like that. If Chris does something that hurts me, or if you do something that kind of hurts my feelings a little bit, it's easy to release forgiveness in that moment and to move on from it. But deep hurts, what I learned a little over 2 years ago, and I've shared bits and pieces of it, not the whole story. Our family went through something that was really, really hard. And a few of our close friends and family know about it, where our daughter was really, really hurt. And you know what it's like for a parent to watch that kind of pain be inflicted. And the way it affected us, I learned then, this is not going to be an easy, I'm going to forgive and that's the end of it. But what I learned about forgiveness in that process was that it was a daily process of forgiving. To what Dad was talking about, it was a daily, I can't go back and keep remembering this and putting these pieces back together of the pain. Because that's what we do when we remember. We remember things. We put the parts. We put the pieces back together. And then all we can think about is the hurt. And it stirs up the anger. And it stirs up all of these things. But through the process, Chris and I both made a decision. And it was a hard decision. That in our pain, that we were going to choose daily didn't mean that we weren't angry. It didn't mean that sometimes there's a righteous anger, and a lot of our anger was a righteous anger, but even righteous anger can get ugly if we allow it to. And the way we allowed that righteous anger to not turn ugly is that we daily became accountable to each other to say, hey, we're not going to remember. We're not going to put these pieces back together. But the only way to move on from something is to focus and to move towards something. And we chose to move towards healing. We chose to move. And not only did it set us free, it set Anna free. See, the thing that we don't often remember is sometimes when we hold on, we think, and we know we're holding on to it, but we think it's only affecting us. But the reality of it was affecting every single person in our home. It affects every single person. And when we were able to, through the process of forgiveness and through release, it freed every single person in our home. That's the beauty of it. That's the power of it. It's not just for you, but there's no expiration date on that forgiveness. Now it's released my children, and it's going to release their kids. There's no expiration date on forgiveness. It is worth the process. It's not the easiest of processes always, but I promise you, it is worth it. We have a lot to say.
I really can't add anything to, but I would like to tell you a process that I understand that happens to us. We have thoughts. We entertain those thoughts. If we entertain a negative thought long enough, it becomes a habit. We just start thinking, I'm tired. I'm going to get hurt, whatever it might be, or towards another. And when you think those thoughts, it becomes a habit, and then it becomes a belief. When you're in the belief system, regardless if the situation isn't the same, the person isn't the same, that belief comes up. I need to protect myself. That person is the kind of person that could hurt me, like other people. And so you start to have walls. So what do? It's already there in the belief system. Because you believed a lie. The lie that you believed, whatever it might be, you're going to have to figure that out. But it's telling you that maybe I'm not big enough, strong enough, powerful enough to forgive. But the way you start it is that you start a new way of thinking. That's what Dusty and Chris decided to do. We're going to think positive thoughts. We're going to start to think truth and good thoughts. If you feel a lack of anything, you feel it, you think it, it becomes a habit, and then it's a belief system that you have a lack. You start to believe the truth and say, I am going to think that God is going to provide enough out of his riches and glory. I am worthy enough to receive all these good things. And when you start to think those thoughts, it then becomes a habit, and then it's a new belief system. And the lies that you have believed, that you have lack, will disappear.
What I want to do, I want to pray for you. Last Sunday morning at the end of the service, I prayed. And before I even got home, I really felt in my spirit to hurt in my heart and spirit, you need to pray more for your sheep. You need to pray more corporately for them. And I'm going to be doing that more. That's why I prayed this morning before I talked. I'm going to pray for you corporately. And there's an old prayer we used to pray called a sinner's prayer, and we'd end it a lot of times, and everybody would pray it. We'd say, pray this prayer. You know, God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life, da-da-da. I want to pray a prayer that reverses it. And it's, Lord, today I forgive whomever that's hurt me, has pained me. I choose today to forgive them, to release them, to loose them, to let it go. I choose to do that today. As you and I do this on a regular basis, what will happen? You'll get to the place where you'll walk, and this is where you want to get to. You want to get to the place where you walk in what's called unilateral forgiveness. And unilateral forgiveness is this: you never have to ask me to forgive you. I automatically forgive you without you ever asking me. A real marriage is going to work, and you want to walk in unilateral forgiveness. You can't wait till they say, will you forgive me for doing that? Would you forgive me for doing that? No, you just walk in unilateral forgiveness. I forgive you without you even asking me to forgive you. It's great if you do. It's great if they ask you to forgive. But if they don't, it's okay. I'm going to walk in unilateral forgiveness. I'm going to walk. That's what Jesus does. That's what God does for us. He walks in unilateral forgiveness. Before you even ask him, he has forgiven you. Before you ever confess it, he said. So I saw a statement this week. You got to choose in life. Are you going to be a lawyer or a judge? I saw a statement this week said, when I do wrong, I'm a lawyer. But when other people do wrong, I become a judge. We need to stay on the lawyer side. We need to become an advocate for people. That's what Jesus is, sitting down at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercessions for you and I. In other words, forgive him, God, don't know no better. He's in a dumb moment right there. That's not him. All right? God bless you.
You may be seated. As our ushers are coming this morning and receiving our mornings, tithes and offerings and alms and missions, thank you for your faithfulness. Want to encourage you, if you did notice over the last couple of weeks, especially this morning, because there was four big tables, new tables out in the foyer, two beautiful plush gray chairs and a new table in the center. Our ladies' ministry worked extremely hard to be able to provide that. So let's give them a hand for the hard work that they did. The barbecue egg cartons that they sold, and sometimes the biscuits that you purchased or gave a donation for. They work hard to do projects that are not necessarily budgeted for that particular year. And so we're very grateful for that. They have a meeting next Sunday. And if you are a lady, guys, you cannot go. If you are a lady and you are interested in even finding out a little bit more about what the Eagle or what the Ladies Ministries does, they would like for you to attend that meeting. It'll be right after church, and it won't be a long period of time, so you can just delay your lunch just a second. But on your connection card, you can let them know that you're coming. They'd like to be prepared for you. You can call the church office, or you can just show up. They'll be thrilled if you just show up next Sunday. So they will be planning what their next project is going to be, and then the two main things that they do each year as far as fundraising, one is a raffle, and the second one is the Doc Holliday Festival. They do barbecue or sell trays of that. But the upcoming event that they have is the raffle. So you will see information about it. The raffle will be on March the 7th. Did I say that right? And so there's only a few weeks that they are going to be selling these tickets. It's $5 a ticket. What you are buy in an opportunity for is 3 nights, 4 days at the beach in Navarre Beach. Okay, so if you are interested in that, it will be during the month of May that you will have an option to book those times. Mike and Sherry have so donated that information, their new place for us. So they're excited about that. And second place, I think, is a homemade Afghan. So there's a consolation prize with that. But so if you see a lady and they have tickets in their hands, make sure you go for your wallet and give them some cash. Or we can even take your plastic. We'll work that out too. So, but thank you for the ladies for all that you do in giving of your time and your efforts to Eagles Way. I'm going to pray and bless the offering. You guys can go ahead right now and pick up the buckets as I'm praying, because we're not going to end with a, you will be dismissed when I'm done praying. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship. Lord, to be encouraged. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you bring forth, or Pastor Buren hearing from you, Lord, and bringing that to us. Allow us, Father, Lord, to learn to walk in unilateral forgiveness. And I thank you, Lord, that you do that for us. Lord, bless each and every person and every person that they come in contact this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a great week.